You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Minutes after 11.
702.
World of Work.
Time for our World of Work feature now. And today we are discussing employee benefits. And if you've got some questions around this, or you want to share your experiences with us, please, I want you to give us a call on 011-883-0702. Sometimes employee benefits can eat into your salary. How many times have you received an offer from your employer or potential employer, I should say, and they're telling you this is how much you're going to get paid, but that works out to less than how much you currently get paid? And then they tell you, well, it's because you've got the benefits. What's the point if it's taking what I'm taking home, right? So sometimes these benefits, they eat into your salary, right? And I want us to talk about how it all works. Like, how do employee benefits programs get structured and how do they affect your salary package? 072-702-1702 is the number where you can send your WhatsApp voice note. Viresh Maharaj is the executive for strategy and customer experience at Alexander Forbes. And Viresh is joining us on the line. We'll be guiding us through this discussion. Viresh, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clemens, and good morning to your listeners.
So I have to be honest with you. When I saw what qualifies as an employee benefit, I was like, what? I wish I had some of that. I mean, I saw somewhere it had vacation and I was like, I would love to have vacation as part of my benefits. And so those are some of the popular benefits. Vacation. Okay. Sick leave. We know that, you know, health insurance, retirement and all that. You know, I would like some profit sharing. I would like some vacation, some gym reimbursements. Talk to us about what qualifies as an employee benefit.
Well, Clement, typically employers structure their benefits around what they seek to offer to their employees as part of the value proposition, their attraction to get employees in and keep employees. So for us in South Africa, we've got access to various types of leave, which is relatively progressive when you compare ourselves to the rest of the world, particularly some first world countries like the States. So we've got mandatory annual leave, maternity leave, sick leave benefits, for instance, and those form part of a broader package of employee benefits. But traditionally, when we refer to employee benefits, when it comes to the actual financial services that one has access to, this normally relates to retirement funding, life insurance, and medical aid.
So how are they structured, these benefits? Because often what you pick up is that sometimes companies would use these benefits to try and make the offer more attractive. But what I've picked up often is sometimes the offer then comes to less than what you are currently getting paid. And yes, you can celebrate the benefits as much as you want. But if you say to a potential employee that come work for us, but you're going to get paid 7,000 less than what you're currently paying for now because of the benefits that we are supposedly offering you, that's not really an easy, attractive sell, is it?
No, it's not. And I think it's an issue that many employers face right now. But I think it does take an understanding of what's in that package. And as an industry and as employers, I suspect that we struggle to connect with our employees and the individuals who we seek to attract and to engage as part of the recruitment process, but as importantly, as part of the retention process as well. So, I mean, on your comment, as well as some of the comments you made before we started the conversation, we must appreciate that the money that you put towards a retirement fund that gets deducted from your salary is still your money. It's not going somewhere else. You will still have access to that money at a point in the future. And the reason that you or your employer has elected to channel your part of your salary towards a retirement fund is because they're conscious of the need to enable you to have an income in retirement, even though that may be 10, 20, 30, or 40 years away. That remains your money. Yes, it is not cash in hand right now, but I think that we must appreciate that that money is deducted before tax is paid from your salary. So you are deferring the payment of tax to a point down the line at a lower rate than what your income tax would be right now. That all said, it still doesn't take away from the optics and the real lived experience of individuals who now have less paid into their bank accounts, and it's from your cash salary that you've got to pay your various expenses.
So why are they important for us to consider? And as an employee, do I have a choice to say, I don't want those benefits, just give me hard cash, just pay me that money?
Yes. So that would be, that may seem as to be for many people an attractive option to take, bearing in mind the various drawdowns we have on our cash salary, from expenses to debt to various types of things we've got to pay for. But the reason why employers have traditionally chosen to implement a holistic package of employee benefits that iterate and grow over time is because they do offer financial inclusion to their employees who otherwise may not have on their own accessed these types of financial services. In fact, research coming out of the state shows that a typical individual is 15 times more likely to save through a compulsory group arrangement through their employer than taking up their own savings.
It doesn't surprise me.
which is the reality we face, and that's in the States. I would expect that in South Africa, it's potentially even more extreme than that. In fact, I think our latest research shows that approximately 90% of our retirement funding savings pool in the country is drawn from employer-based retirement funding schemes. So in a very real way, employers are taking care of the interests, the long-term interests of their employees in a manner that may result in some short-term pain because you don't have the same cash salary on a monthly basis, but over the long term will result in a materially better outcome in retirement for the individual. And that's just speaking to the retirement funding aspect. Once you look at for instance, the life insurance and disability insurance you get through to your, from your employer's compulsory arrangements, the value proposition does increase as well. Because if you think about the typical South African employee base, the majority of employees simply would not have had access to those types of life insurance benefits by their own activities. But by virtue of being part of a certain company, who has a certain structure in place, you by default will get that type of insurance, which became very, very important, especially over the last 18 months, let alone all the time before that. But the impact of COVID has certainly helped to amplify the importance of appropriate coverage because the chances of dying or becoming disabled became far more prevalent and caught our attention over the last number of months.
Yeah. 011-883-0702. What question do you have for Viresh? Or maybe you want to share your experience around employee benefits. How are they affecting your salary package? I'd like to know from you. Give me a call or send me a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Someone here sent a WhatsApp text, says, Clem, I'm in between jobs. The new employer is promising unlimited leave. They're promising that vacation, the shares, etc. I think it's impressive. And I wonder, Viresh, if sometimes employers, you know, use this as a draw card, so to speak. And I mean, how do you promise someone unlimited leave? I don't know if that is so real or they're just using it to attract you to the offer. As employees, how can we just make sure that what is being offered and promised is actually what's going to be delivered, so that you don't get excited about unlimited leave, about vacations and shares, and when you get there, that's not really the case?
Well, I think the best thing to do is probably speak to a couple of employees currently at that company to understand what's their actual lived experience of that company. But that being said, there are a number of companies, some locally and some internationally, that do offer unlimited leave that we're aware of. And the rationale there is that you're dealing with adults who have a mature understanding of what's required of them and their ability to meet their key performance goals for the company and for customers and clients. and that they then take the responsibility to manage their own time in a mature way. So it's not necessarily for all employers that that would apply, but in certain spaces, that is the case. And in the research that I've seen, what tends to happen is that people take less leave than they otherwise would have, because these are the types of companies where you do get the workaholics, the kind of individuals who are working weekends, let alone taking time off. So unlimited leave doesn't mean that people are away for the whole year. There are checks and balances in place, and the types of individuals that tend to migrate to these types of companies are those who you more likely than not have to force to take leave in the first place.
Has there been research proving that sometimes these employee benefits actually do attract and retain talent?
So I'm not aware of research that points to that fact categorically, to say that having a certain suite of benefits in place categorically means that you're able to attract and retain talent. The theory or the hypothesis is that, given the fact that many attractive employers have these types of benefits in place, they do play a role when it comes to employees or potential employees selecting between potential employers, especially if the potential employer is able to connect with that individual and land the proposition that they've got available to them. So, say, for instance, choosing between a company that pays a cash salary and says, well, you're on your own, you're an adult, you can decide what to invest in, whether or not to invest in the first place, whether or not to get insurance, and whether or not to get medical aid, versus a different company that says, you know what, we are making use of a professional advisory firm, for instance, at Alexander Forbes, to help us structure our benefits based on, decades of experience and expertise, to make sure that we're doing so in a manner that's actually cheaper than if you were to go out and get this for yourself in the open market. So by working through our structures, you're getting retirement funding cheaper than elsewhere. You're doing investments cheaper than by yourself. You're getting life insurance potentially cheaper than by yourself. And you're getting access to medical aid. And you know what? If that makes sense to you, and if you think that this is of value, because these are things you actually do need, then hang on, we can do something together. And the subtlety or the undertone there is that that's an employer who's caring about you. It's not just about, here's a salary and sort yourself out. It's, hang on, yes, we pay you a salary, but we are aware of the opportunity to make an impact on your life and the life of your family over time. Mm. And as a caring, engaged employer, this is what we are doing for you.
Yeah, and they're investing in you, right? And I mean, who doesn't want that? Hi, I'm so Viresh, I'm getting people tweeting me about the unlimited leave. Tahlego on Twitter says, I work for an organization that offers us unlimited leave. It's real and it works. Flexibility is inclusion. I didn't know about this. So how does it work then? Like, is it unpaid or like, is it paid leave? How does it work when it's unlimited?
So I can't say that I'm a particular expert on the various mechanics on the leave dynamic. I would expect that for some companies it may be fully paid, and for others it may be including an element of unpaid leave. Mm. In fact, for some companies you're more than welcome to have your, call it, 20 to 24 days of paid leave per year. Depending on which company you work for, you might have a 30-day sick leave allowance on a 2 to 3 year cycle. But beyond that, if you want to take unpaid leave, you're welcome to do so. You just won't get paid. But bearing in mind then that your value to the organization is also a factor, because simply taking half a year of unpaid leave makes you less attractive as an employee, and you're not contributing to the business. Hence, I say the types of companies that tend to offer this are those where there is a high degree of trust and expectation of the individuals, because these are the types of people that will be working weekends and nights, irrespective of how much leave they've got access to.
Yeah, that's interesting. So many things to consider. A listener here says, the main purpose, Clement, of unlimited leave is to remove the contingent liability of unpaid leave of a company's balance sheet. Andrew says, when I got my first permanent job a few years ago, I was well aware that I had fallen behind in terms of retirement savings. The company had a compulsory provident fund and an optional pension fund. I participate in both schemes to sort of catch up. Do you know about that? If that's that's a viable option, Viresh?
So you've got various options available to you depending on what your employer has in place. So effectively, the difference between provident and pension funds has reduced substantially because of regulation that National Treasury's brought in and is likely to bring in the future. So there is no difference in your tax advantages between the two. Mm. And the annuitization of your savings has been consolidated from a certain point in time into the future, bearing in mind that there are vested rights for savings within a provident fund up until that date. But effectively, between a pension and a provident fund, there were historic differences. Going forward, there aren't going to be differences into the future.
Okay.
So whether it's a pension or provident, you don't have to worry. But as an individual, you can contribute to a retirement funding vehicle, whether it's a retirement annuity, a pension fund, or a provident fund, up to 27.5% of your total earnings per year, limited to an annual cap of contributions of 350,000 rand. So for an individual, whether you contribute to a pension, provident, or an RA, that's the limit up to which point you get the tax advantage. It doesn't stop you from contributing more, and there are rollover benefits for taxation purposes.
Mm.
It's just that that's the immediate benefit that you can enjoy.
Yeah, let's listen to some voice notes.
Hi, Clement. Thanks for the lovely show. Just a quick one for your guest there. How important is it for one to have, for instance, whether it's life cover or whether it's a retirement annuity over and above whatever employee benefits that person might have, and what actually guides that process, or what actually is supposed to guide that process? And the reason for my question is, you know, many a time you find people actually saying, oh no, you know, I've got this and that at work, and therefore I feel that's enough. You know, I don't want to be over-insured.
Okay, thank you so much for that great question. Viresh?
That is an excellent question. My immediate response to that is you've got to empower yourself with information. So typically, South African employees don't know what they've got and how much they've got access to, let alone what they've got invested and where it's invested in, or how much life insurance cover they've got. So step one is to figure out what you've actually got via your employer or your employer's retirement fund. And there are various ways of accessing this information through your fund website, by engaging with your human resources partner or professional, or registering on the your fund's own digital portal so you've got access to your information. So firstly, empower yourself with information. Secondly, it makes sense, and we've seen this empirically in practice, that high quality financial advice will materially improve your outcomes over a period of time. And that means being able to speak to a financial advisor who can look at your employer benefits and engage with you on your own distinct and unique personal circumstances to understand, well, hang on, myself, who's got two children who are fairly young, versus an individual who may be in their late 50s, we've got different life cover needs, yet typically we have the same multiple of cover of insurance from our employer. So I might then need to top up in certain areas and they may need to scale down in others, but that takes a professional to help with that quite complex process over time. Now, various employers and retirement funds do make available financial advisors who they have vetted and approved to engage with their employees. So step one, get informed of what you've got. Step two, engage with a professional who can help you to craft a plan that makes sense for your specific situation.
Yeah, let's take this last voice note.
Clement, I'm so happy that you guys are discussing this today. That uncle from Alexander Forbes, he will say the things he's saying because they are in partnership with a lot of companies to offer some of those benefits that is that's being discussed. Okay, the pension fund and the provident, I don't disagree with it because you do end up getting your money eventually. It's like a savings pack for yourself. Some things like at our company, we are only offered two medical aid options. It's 50% subsidized by the company. However, we only get to choose between those two. More affordable options not available to us. And on our salary, like the medical aid is killing us because we don't have an option to choose something more affordable. And now with the pandemic, you know, you feel obligated to maybe put your kids or something or your spouse on your medical aid. But with such a heavy, with such a big premium, like really, even 50% subsidized, it still comes to a lot and it makes a big impact on a small salary. So maybe you should focus on things like it, things that we don't have options on. Talk about it, Clement.
Thank you so much for that. Viresh, any response to that before we wrap up? We've got 20 seconds.
Okay, so that's an area of immense exploration right now. And there are various providers, including Alexander Forbes, who are looking at being able to consult to employers to broaden their range of options so that they meet the affordability spectrum through and across an employee base. It is an issue that the industry is well aware of, and there is work being done. Unfortunately, in the context of, for instance, COVID and various other medical expenses, medical aid is an expensive benefit at this stage.
Thank you for making time. You've been brilliant. Viresh Maharaj, Executive for Strategy and Customer Experience at Alexander Forbes.